Okay, would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
There's a flag that direction in the auditorium.
Oh, okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, the approval of the agenda. We weren't sure if you saw it at 5 o'clock.
No, it was the wrong library.
Oh.
I left. If I got changed, I put it in my phone wrong or something.
Well, it did, but I don't. Yeah.
I didn't. I failed to change it on my phone. There. The thing I that reminds me.
We don't have adult chairs.
They're not in yet.
Oh yeah, you're right. They're not in. We'd be sitting with our knees up by our neck.
Okay, approval of the agenda. Does anybody have any additions or changes to the agenda? Seeing none, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to recommend to approve the agenda.
Second. Motion been made and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Student representative report, Nicole Peterson. She's not here this evening. She's busy with the... I don't know, she's talking. It's a lot of stuff going on. Okay, correspondence.
We have none.
Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items. Comments from audience related to agenda items. Comments from board members. Consent agenda. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda for October 22nd, 2013.
A second.
Okay, motions were made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Jean Ellis?
Aye.
John Dinkins?
Aye.
Sarah Hungley?
Yes.
Cheryl Vidal?
Yes.
Tom Baird?
Yes.
Okay, administrative report, superintendent report, Dr. Thompson.
Okay. Well, the principals just returned from the state principals conference that they attended last week. And then Principal Dormer took his father on a special event and took some personal days. So that's, I gave the principals and the athletic director this board meeting off because the athletic director is heavily involved with, the activities director, heavily involved with the honor concert choir and concert and band that is here. And everybody's pedaling pretty fast. So I said, you guys do what you need to do. While at the principals conference, they learned a lot more about the Alaska content standards and the whole evaluation procedure, which are the two big things that are going to consume us for the next 2 or 3 years, probably, something in that area.
Is the state going to be providing any training and stuff on this to the Department of Ed, or do they...
That's one of our concerns and one of our requests. Is there's been a lot of money expended by a lot of districts to implement this, but there was none allocated when the changes were made. So
yeah. It just seems like the legislators are approving this kind of stuff, but they're not giving any support to the department to help anybody out with it.
Yeah, the department actually has had its funding reduced.
They keep cutting the department. Yeah.
It's not for the department's been working really hard. A lady there actually by the name of Dr. Susan McCauley, who's doing a very nice job, but that's only one person.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really answer your question.
Well, it sort of does.
Yeah, okay. We had a group of students attend OSOG, which is the Alaska Association of Student Governments, and the chaperones were Dan Tate and Sue Harden. Dan Tate was going to be here tonight to give a report, but he is also busy hosting 4 students involved in the music thing, so he gave me a report to read, which I'll read to you. I had planned on speaking to you in person, but I was reminded by my lovely wife that I had 4 Music Fest house guests to collect and feed at 5 p.m. to be returned to the school by 7 p.m. for the concert tonight. Last month, when it became apparent that our OSOG advisors, Rick Dormer and Ginger Evans, were not able to travel to Juneau with our school delegates due to other commitments, Ginger with the Healthy Living Grant, Rick with the Principals Conference, I, along with Sue Harden, were asked to step in as chaperones for this event. Before I give this brief report, I would like to thank you and our administration for the opportunity to remove myself from my normal duties to help out with this worthy organization. That being said, we departed last Tuesday night for Juneau Douglas High School with the following students. Seniors, Paige Bean, Michael Brock, Diane Murph, and Carly Tate. Juniors, John Brooks and Shaylee Dahl. And finally, freshman, Sydney Guthrie. These are all freshman delegates. None of these students have ever participated in OSOG before. The pre-conference kick off late Thursday morning, and our students divided among the pre-conference kicked off late Thursday morning, and our students divided among themselves the following seminars: RSVP, Raising Student Voice and Participation Training; Safe Talk Suicide Prevention Training; and a seminar on building healthy relationships. After lunch, they took in seminars on parliamentary processes, debating skills, resolutions, what happens in regional meetings and general assemblies, and how to connect with delegates. Opening ceremonies commenced at 4 p.m., followed by a regional meeting at 6:30 p.m. to discuss resolutions. That would be brought to the General Assembly later that evening at 8 p.m. So this is going way into the night. I have to tell you that I was so taken by the conduct of our kids and the OSUG organization in general that I have said the following to anyone that I can get to listen to me. For instance, several of our students wasted no time in their very first regional meeting by bringing pertinent debate points to the discussion at hand. They certainly were not reserved or shy as they networked and collaborated with other schools during the conference. Thoughtful and meaningful participation was always at the highest level and the order of the day. Furthermore, showing great concern when the venue was assaulted by a wayward cup of coffee left by another school against the rules, two of our students literally leaped out, up, and ran for cleaning materials as others looked on. At every turn, our seven students brought due diligence and Petersburg pride to the forefront. That's always the case with kids. They're amazing. That first day ended at 10:15 and then back to the hotel by 11. With the sleeping hours in short supply and the next day starting around 6 a.m., I found out later that our three most active delegates stayed up late studying and planning for the day's agenda. The next day's agenda. That schedule would continue for the next 2 days. Up early, attend regional meetings to discuss upcoming resolutions, and off to General Assembly for debate, then dismissed at 10 p.m. Luckily, breakfast, lunch, and dinner were provided each day. Motivational speakers were also brought in for keynote addresses at various points, and tours of the capital city took place Friday afternoon. By the second day, Carly Tate in particular was addressing and debating in the General Assembly. In particular, one resolution sought to have all Alaska schools participate in the Farm to School program. Carly gave a glowing report of Petersburg School District's advances in this program and also to the positive effects of our breakfast program when discussing a resolution on the federal breakfast program and urged both their approval. In short, 14 resolutions were prepared. A little over half were debated in session, most notably an amendment to the tobacco, alcohol, and drugs policy of the ASA, which is the Athletic Association, to exclude e-cigarettes, support an academic wing at Mount Edgecombe, and eliminate waste and saving costs with OSOG conferences itself. Overall, I was very impressed with our PHS delegates as they navigated a whole new world of responsible leadership. Furthermore, the OSOG organization as a whole is in a class by itself. Where else will you find a student-run assembly that bridges its own cultural differences, Alaska Native villager to mainstream urban teen, and tackles local school and state political and social issues collectively as young adults? It would be my hope as a parent and staff member that we continue to send our OSOG leadership to these conferences. Typically, one is held in the fall and spring of each school year. As we are attending only the fall conference with our current elected body, our next logical step might be to work in the second spring conference with both the current delegates upcoming school year's elected body. If it is of interest, this conference will be reportedly televised on 360 North Halloween morning at 9 a.m. There's also a website, www.osog.org. Thank you again for the opportunity to support Zoom Body. So we had a great time. And Shaylee Dahl made a point of coming up to me and said, "That was great. Thank you for letting us go." We went, and she reiterated what Dan Tate said. Our kids are active, so we just never had a core group that was enough interested to want to go, so we figured out how to do that. It was nice.
Well, I think, didn't we have them go a couple years ago or something?
No, I don't remember.
Because they were all excited, and they wanted to figure out how to get kids to go more than 1 year in a row.
You know who was in that? Nicole was in that, I betcha.
Well, and Carolyn Kernberg.
Yeah.
We usually send study every fall.
I don't know why we haven't, but maybe it's been interesting. So anyway, the Ossog Report. There's a concert this evening at 7, which is why we're meeting at 5, and that's awesome. I was in there this afternoon listening to the dress rehearsal. You're in for a treat. It's way cool. School and district report cards per the NCLB regulations have been completed and will be posted on the web, on our website, sometime next week when we double-check all the data. There's no school next Thursday or Friday due to staff in-service. And also on that Thursday and Friday, or the Wednesday before, our team will be attending the Healthy Living Grantee Institute. We'll be sending Ginger Evans, Stacy Dahl, Joanne Day, Dino Brock, Carly Wells, and Carol Larson, which represents our nurse, our PE, and our nutrition folks. So we're excited about that.
So where is that at?
That is in Anchorage.
I think Dan Van Swearengen, too.
Oh, and Dan Van Swearengen. I missed one. Thank you. And the PE guy. Yeah. And then AASB, the week after that, the members of the board that are going to that will be there on November 6th to November 10th. So it's a busy couple of weeks coming up. And that is our report. Thank you.
Okay, any questions? All right, upcoming dates and meeting announcements. You just covered most of them.
Sorry.
No, that's no problem. No problem at all. The thing that we were... Well, there's two things. The AASB meeting in Anchorage. Who is actually planning to attend?
I am.
Four.
Really?
Okay.
Okay, great. Those are always very interesting. And actually, it was kind of interesting listening to what they did at ASOG, because a lot of that is very similar to what we do at AASB, really.
I'm excited to have four board members here. I've got to tell you, it's nice when you have the majority of your board there. It's just very helpful for...
Well, and we do have the resolution that we're bringing.
Yes, that's one of the reasons I'm excited is we actually step forward.
So we're going to have to work a little bit to make sure that gets passed.
And I'm not allowed to present it.
Oh.
You have to. I remember when the superintendent got up and spoke and they sat him down and said, "You're not actually supposed to be speaking." And I'm not going to allow that to happen.
Can't we delegate?
Yeah.
All righty. And so set the board agenda. We were looking at November 5th, which is a Tuesday. It's quite a ways before the meeting, which is on the 19th. But because of how people coming and going and trying to get it done, we're thinking about doing it at that time. Anybody want to help out?
I won't be here.
Cheryl?
Won't be here.
Okay.
I can do
it. Done. Okay. Okay, and then we keep moving the strategic plan and board agenda work session. And hopefully we can actually have it happen. And I would like to do it Saturday, November 16th. I heard from a couple of people that works for them. I don't know if that works for everyone.
I tentatively won't be here for that.
You won't be back yet? Are you going somewhere?
I might be in Ketchikan with wrestling.
Oh.
You might be.
And judo the next following week. Definitely judo the following week.
So you'll be gone both the 16th and the 23rd?
Possibly.
Okay. How about anybody else that will be gone?
High school, just high school.
All right, so why don't we set it for the 16th?
Okay.
At the same time we did before, which was 8:30 a.m. in the...
And how come we're doing this on a Saturday?
Because we usually do it goes all morning.
You could go weekday if you want. If you're free, we can work that out. That's a good question. That's a very good question.
I was just kind of wondering why it's a Saturday. Yeah.
Doesn't have to be.
Yeah. It just has been that because it's a longer, it's more of a board retreat, so it's a longer thing. But that's,
I'm okay if it's during the week.
I have six Saturdays every week, so take your pick.
It would be easier if it was on a Thursday or Friday just because I've got my 6-year-old's got activities on a Saturday, but
okay,
Daddy's not always available.
So Thursday or Friday, and...
But I guess I can't remember how involved you have to be, because it's whether it's cutting into your work day.
Okay. My work day is your work day.
And is during the day work for people on a weekday?
Yeah.
Does it work? Which days a week do you work?
Usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so...
So okay. You got Thursday the 14th, Friday
yeah,
the 15th.
Yeah, either one of those would probably work.
Okay.
Either one of those will work for me.
14th, Thursday the 14th at 8:30 in the morning.
How's That's that? A good thing?
Sounds good. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, except...
There's something.
Yeah, I have my granddaughter every Thursday at 8:30 a.m.
How about Friday, then? I don't think she'd enjoy that very much.
I don't think she would, no. Okay, Friday the 15th? Going once? Going twice?
I hope it works.
It'll work. It has to work.
All right. Then, Campus Connection, which is when our next regular board meeting is Tuesday, November 19th. And who would like to do Campus Connection that day?
Which day is it?
Tuesday the 19th.
I could do it.
I'll do it.
Cheryl? All righty. Then we're down to old business. There is no old business. New
business.
We're
really busy.
Hey. Election of officers. We didn't have an election this year because of the borough starting up. So what happened is that we were all, two of us were elected in the borough election. The rest of the people were appointed. The appointed people's terms run until 2014, of October 2014. And then Cheryl's runs to 2015 and mine runs to 2016. So we don't have the election and the installation of possibly a new person, but we do need to elect officers. So at this point, I will turn it over to the superintendent who will conduct the election of the president.
Okay. Nominations are now open for the office of president.
I'd like to make the nomination for Jean Ellis.
Second. Jean Ellis has been nominated, seconded, and thirded.
All the way to 2016. Can we do that?
No.
Oh, shoot.
All right.
I move that nomination cease and cast a unanimous ballot.
Been moved and seconded that the nomination cease, pass unanimous ballot. Anybody opposed to that? No, we're on. Okay, you're the president.
You don't need to make a motion to elect anybody.
Oh, we're done.
And then close them.
We're done.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't have to do an oath of office because she's already the president, right?
Yeah.
There we go.
That makes
it okay.
Take
then,
over.
And then we need the vice president. And the current vice president is Sarah Holmgren.
And she's doing a great job.
She's doing it. I nominate Sarah.
Second.
Okay.
We don't have to nominate her?
Okay. You don't have to second them or anything. You just nominate who you want, and then somebody can close it.
Okay. So we have a nomination for Sarah Holmgren for vice president. Do we have somebody who wants to close the
nomination? Move nominations close.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor of Sarah Holmgren as vice president, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Hoo
yeah.
Opposed? Motion passes. 5-0. Elected. Whatever. Then, Secretary Treasurer. The current Secretary Treasurer is Cheryl File.
I'll make the nomination, Cheryl File, Secretary Treasurer.
Second. No, you don't have to second.
You can close the nomination.
Close it.
Close
it. It's just easier to second because that's what you're used to.
Okay, I hear no other nominations. Nominations are closed. All in favor of Cheryl File as Secretary Treasurer, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Been elected. Well, the nice thing about this, we don't have to change any of the signing forms.
There you go.
Cheryl
would
be happy about that.
It is very handy. Cheryl did such a great job of running that meeting.
Oh, my God.
I was really prepared her for president.
Horrible. And I'm so nervous.
She will have an opportunity someday, I'm sure.
Yeah, you weren't here.
You were gone.
Yeah.
Sarah was gone. Jean left.
I was in control.
I didn't feel.
She didn't even get any advance notice.
I didn't feel very good, so I actually
kept through
my book and left. So it was kind
Michelle
of a tough thing.
Did great.
Okay, board committee appointments. So I'll move it to the auditor sign.
There we go.
We have a list of the current board committees. Anybody have wish to be appointed to a different committee or resign from one of the committees? Or
I'd like to stay on the Health Information Technology Committee and Health and Wellness.
Okay, those are the two you're on there. Because actually, the way this is, budget is John Bringhurst and Don Ware. Negotiations is John Bringhurst and Gene Ellis. Will we have any negotiations? We don't. We hope not. Curriculum, Sarah Holmgren. Crisis, Cheryl File. Technology, Don Ware. Wellness, Don Ware. Facilities, John Bringhurst and Sarah Holmgren. Legislative Liaison, Gene Ellis. Policy, Gene Ellis and Cheryl File. If anybody else would like to be, we can't have three of us at a time with the policies, but we have gotten, we get these policies from AASB that reflect the changes that the legislature has made and things like that, or maybe a court case is made that we need to make to our policies. And so we are getting behind in processing those. It's just a matter of going in and looking at them and saying, yes, they look good, and bringing them before the board. But kind of requires us to be like every Wednesday for a while or something. Anybody else want to do that instead of me?
I'm already doing it. You are.
Oh, sorry. I just don't feel like I can commit to this anymore.
Well, and you can always become some. We can have you as a backup.
Okay.
I don't think we have to do that often.
That way we can make sure we still can do it.
Okay. That's every Wednesday. We're trying to get the background clear.
Yeah. Starting whenever. Well, because Rob also is involved in it, so it does require us all to be in the same place at the same time, which is sometimes a little challenging. Okay. Resignation. We have a resignation from Teresa Versteg, who is the Mitkoff Middle School Secretary, and she and her husband are moving to Arizona. And we will miss her, and we want to thank her for her years of service. She was in the high school office for quite a while, and then she was in the middle school for a few years. Mm-hmm. We're going to miss her.
We already do. She actually retired, and they have a place in Arizona.
Okay.
And so she's doing a good life.
Okay, and the way this works is we don't have to make a motion for it because the board recognizes Teresa Versteg's resignation acceptance by the superintendent on behalf of the board.
Correct.
The next thing we have is Board Policy 5143, Security in the Schools. This is maybe Rob Doug
Thomason.
Can you
give
us a little history on this one?
Among the superintendents, we've been talking about security in the schools and crisis plans and all those things, and only a few school districts in the state of Alaska had a policy related to CCTV or closed caption television cameras. And those that did offered to share it with those of us who did not, because it's not part of the normal AASB packet. And so what you have is the example of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District. And it's really a housekeeping matter because we do have closed caption television cameras. We have had them for years. And this just codifies what we are doing. It's basically non-controversial, and it describes the goals of why we have the cameras. And what administration is looking for is, would you like us to take essentially that policy and Petersburgize it, probably taking things out like the badges. We wanted you to see the original version to know where it came from. We do not use badges. We don't anticipate using badges. We're not that big of a community. But we do have the cameras, and we have used them to good effect.
Well, we have site access and visitor check-in systems.
Yeah, we do have that. Yeah.
So we do have things that are addressed in here, just not the badges.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we are ready to do this at first reading, or do we need to have it rewritten?
No, I don't think so, Gene. So if you just say we don't want the badges in there, we want our school, anything else, and that would be at first.
Yeah. Well, and what I'm thinking is that we should take out the Matanuska-Susitna Borough and just put in Petersburg.
Probably,
because then
yeah.
It would read Petersburg School District rather than Petersburg Borough School District, because that would be consistent with what's on our financial reports.
Okay.
And remove the
So we'll Petersburgize it, and we'll take out the badges, and we'll call that first reading. We'll come back to you with a second reading with it modified. There we go. Okay.
Does that work for everyone?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Not following why we don't want borough.
But just because that's what it says here, I was just trying to be consistent with how they address, how they talk about us.
But they're wrong.
Oh.
Aren't they?
Well, we haven't quite decided what we're going to use them.
The board, at one time, we were going to be Petersburg Borough School District. Then we decided that was a mouthful, so it's just Petersburg School District. In the eyes of the Department of Education, we are a school district that's a part of a borough. But in terms of what we put out, we just call ourselves Petersburg School District because borough is such a big mouthful.
Oh, I thought we'd already done that, and it was us. So
if you notice, like up there, we just go PSD. A lot of what I use is PSD as opposed to PSBD, Pittsburgh Borough PBSD. We started using that, and it was very confusing to people. So
they're correct, basically. PSD, and if that's what we are, then
yeah. So that's basically what we're doing. We're just calling it Petersburg School District, even though we took the C out for city and made it PSD. As a matter of convenience.
Well, which is why I brought that up.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was something that we needed to clarify how we were going to do that.
And actually, if this is going to be approved at first reading, it needs to have a roll call vote.
Okay. Motion. So I entertain a motion to accept this at first reading.
I'll make a motion to approve as amended, I guess, in the security in schools for changing it to Petersburg School District, taking out security badges at first reading.
Second. Okay, motion been made and seconded to approve BP 5143, security in schools, with the change that it's Petersburg School District and removing the reference to security badges. Any more comments, discussion? Sharon, could you please call the roll?
Jean Ellis?
Yes.
Sean Fino?
Yes.
Sarah Wingrey?
Yes.
Don Ware?
Yes.
John Drinkers?
Yes.
Let me see. Okay, audit presentation at 5:30.
At this point, I'll turn it, we can turn it over to Karen, and while she gives an intro. And then up to that, you'll switch seats over here. And while you're doing all that, I'll be logging in to Vicki. You want to do that? Kind of an intro thing? And
okay, we'll take a short break here.
Yeah.
There. And there's Eric Campbell. And these are our auditors that have come to Petersburg to audit our financial system.
Wait a minute. We're getting there, Vicki.
And I was very, as a side note, I was very impressed with these guys this year. They did a much more thorough
test. There you go.
Test of our internal controls, and they did a great job. So they're going to do a PowerPoint presentation.
Can you hear us, Vicki?
Overview.
Are they the same people under a different wrapper?
Yes.
Oh. Yes.
They merged.
There we go.
Oh, that's for when you want to do your PDF. The PowerPoint.
Can you see us?
We can hear them now.
You can hear us? We can hear you.
Can you hear us too?
I can hear you just fine. We can even see you.
Yeah, all right.
Kill those lights.
We can see you and we can hear you, and we have our papers in front of us.
Yeah, just a second. It's right. Jack, how are you doing?
We look dark because we turned off the lights to be able to see you, but we're really here.
Okay. That's taking leave without us knowing, isn't it?
There you go. I'll give you a panorama there of the. You have the board members here, Shell File, Don Ware, Gene Ellis, John Bringhurst, and Sarah Holmgren are all here, plus representatives from the Petersburg Pilot, KFSK Radio, and the Teachers Association. So that's your audience. And it's over to you.
Wow, quite a bit.
There you go.
All right, thank you. My name is Eric Campbell. I'm a partner here with BDO, and we have Vicki, the senior manager, who oversaw most of the audit. I assume everybody has a copy of the financial statement?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, that's true.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, what I'm going to try, this is our first time, this is our pilot program here.
That's all right. Petersburg's good at this stuff.
Yeah, we're not.
You are too. You're doing great.
So we're going to try to share a PowerPoint. And
looks good.
See if you guys.
Yep.
You see it?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Good. Great. So what I did is I actually put some of the more important schedules from the financial statements in the PowerPoint that we'll go over, and then some trend information.
Good.
Does it sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. And also in the package, you should have received a required vacation packet from us.
That's the audit wrap up, the second page, the second one you guys.
The audit wrap up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All I'm going to say about that is that's required communications from the auditor to the board, and never heard any serious concerns that you needed, that we needed to make you aware of, it will be in there. We have no serious concerns, so basically it's a long, bitter plate letter saying we have no serious concerns. Okay?
Okay.
So first pamphlet down. Alright. So now, on the financial statements, on the history of financial statements in our independent auditor's report, we actually cut and pasted sort of the three most important paragraphs, because this auditor's opinion is getting longer and longer every year. What used to be a one-page auditor opinion is now almost three. So, basically the most important section on the top of page 6 of your financial statement is that, in our opinion, the financial statements are fairly stated in all material respects. So you have a clean or an unqualified opinion on your financial statement. Okay?
Good.
Then, on page 18 of your financial, so then on page the next, you know, the next section all the way up from page 18 is the management's discussion and analysis. And what that is management putting in words what happened during the year, to try to put an explanation to the numbers. From page 18, start the numbers. This is your statement of net position. So now, almost all of your financial statements are on the governmental accounting basis, which does not include capital assets or non-current liabilities. So the different thing on this schedule than any other schedule is the $815,000 of capital assets. I should have highlighted that. Do you see it? Have you seen my mouth here?
Yes, we see the cursor. It was right there.
Okay, yep. So $315,000, that would be different. And then the $37,000 of accrued leave there. So those will be the only thing on these statements that aren't anywhere else. So in total, including your long-term assets and liabilities, you have $2.5 million of assets, $169,000 of liabilities, and $2.3 million of net position. So the next schedule, now this next schedule is basically how you budget. You know, it eliminates your capital assets, your long-term liability. So, you know, when you're doing your budget, you basically budget your general fund, your capital projects, and then under non-major funds are all the federal and state grants that you get that are sort of earmarked for specific purposes. And that, so this brings it in that format. So in this format, you can see you have $2.3 million of total assets, $284,000 of liabilities. So you have over $2 million of fund balance. In the general fund, you have $43,000 assets and $981,000 of fund balance.
Where are you? Take your cursor. Way over here, okay. If you take follow with your cursor, that's bad. Yeah, do that, it's helpful. There you go.
There. Okay, capital projects. Capital projects. You have $1 million of cash sitting in your capital project fund. Basically, that is, you have quite a few projects that you're getting ready to work on. And this is to help fund those projects. But not all of them will be funded by the state or city. So some of them it's more likely than not you'll have to fund on your own. So you have $1 million put aside to help fund those projects that you have to plan for.
Kitchen
and then you have 86,000. Oops. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just playing with it. Yeah. I was explaining it was the kitchen and the siding that we're looking at big time.
Yeah, right now, currently, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, now this is basically your income statement. So on the far right-hand column...
You still on the same page?
Yeah, 10.5 pages, this is on page 22 of the financial statement. I'm sorry, I skipped the first one. Page 19 and page 21... aren't really that important. So on page 22 of the financial statement, I'm hitting the highlights. I'm more than happy to go back and explain any of the other pages that you may like me to. So in total, you had almost $10.2 million of revenues, $10 million of expenditures. So your revenues over expenses were $153,000 in total. In the general fund, you had $9.3 million of revenue, $8.9 million of expenses. You transferred $260,000 to other funds, so you had an increase in fund balance of $104,000 for the year in the general fund. So good job, and a nice, nice increase in the general fund. Capital projects, you spent $162,000. That was all your money. Basically, you're taking your savings now, and you're working on those projects. There's no federal or state or city revenue to pay for those. So you spent $162,000 of your money. You transferred $200,000 from the general fund to help cover it. So you had an increase in the capital project fund of $37,000. And you also transferred $60,000 to other funds. And those are $1,000 to the scholarship fund and $59,000 to the food service. Okay.
So the food service is...
Any questions before?
Yes.
There was a food service question. Since the statement was, so food service is costing us. We're not making money on food service. That's a true statement.
Yeah, food service, every district I know of, food service does not cover its own cost. It's always subsidized.
With the Northern Lights Theater not being in this fund?
It's not a school.
It's not a school thing, yeah. Question was, would Northern Lights Theater be in this? It's not really a school thing, even though we donated $5,000 to the project because we have students involved in it. It's not a school activity.
Yeah, no, that would not be included in these financial statements.
Yeah, back over to you.
And we'll see a little more in the food service later. Okay? So now I skipped over page 23 and 24. Yes, on page 24, you have $99,000 of student activities fund later in... You're in charge of. The footnotes on page 25 through 36, there's nothing in the footnotes that really stand out. I didn't include any of those here. I went on to page 38 in the financial statements. And what I'm curious about this schedule is it has your original budget that you're working with. Your original budget you do about 8 months before the school year even starts. So right now you're working on fiscal year 2015's budget. Yep. So this original column here, this original column, this is a budget that you worked in FY11, basically. So your original budget, and then as you get closer and you find out how many students you're going to have, you can fine-tune your budget a little bit. So your final budget is as you fine-tune it throughout the year. October comes, you have your student count, you have a much better idea of what you're going to get from the state, those funding there. So then you fine-tune your budget then. But what I always like to do is I always like to see how did we do compared to a year and a half ago where can an educated guess to actual. How are we doing? And you actually had $555,000 more revenue than your original estimate. You spent $325,000 more, so your change in fund balance is $100,000 positive compared to your original estimate. And now if you look though, this column here, this is the change from as you started financing your budget. So you're actually, you only received $9,000 more than your final budget, and you spent $188,000 less than your final budget.
Can I chime in?
So actually you did $111,000 better than that.
I think you can only hear
if you're talking. We have a comment here from Karen.
The original budget was before the legislation that went through that we had talked about when we had approved the original budget. That legislation was pending, and so it's got a large variance predominantly because of that legislation. Of course, we got additional funds because the state opted to increase their portion of the mill rate. And so then we had to make up for that with the expenditures, and we that's when we turned around and purchased copiers and took care of some housekeeping things in the school district that needed to be dealt with that had been kind of neglected, for lack of another word. So,
could you hear all that,
Eric? Yeah, that was Senate Bill 160.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so that's why that's on page 38. That's why I like to show the schedule. So this has your revenues and your expenses. Hang on a second. So this 3914 all the way down to 204. Mm-hmm. This section right here, this is considered instructional spending. And then from here down is considered administrative spending. The state wants you to spend at least 70% on instructional spending. You actually spent 72%. So there's a state statute saying that you got to spend 70% and you spent 72%. Okay?
So we should be cheering. That's a really good thing, actually.
Yeah.
Well, actually, and it's rather unusual in the state of Alaska because a great many schools aren't doing that anymore.
Or below 60.
Yeah. It sort of depends how rural you are. The more you get away from the road system or, even the ferry system, the lower that number is. I see it as low as 60% in some districts, mainly because of fuel oil. When you get very rural, fuel oil is $10 a gallon.
Yep.
So they really don't even have a shot. The
question is, does that include staff benefits at the instructional level?
It does.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah.
So
yep.
They're allocated.
So on section Okay, let me go back here. So you see this 3914700 here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Now go to page 40. Do you have your financial statements in front of you?
Page 40?
Yes. Yeah. And the top section has revenues. Then the very next section has expenditures instructional, and you'll see that 3914700. You see that?
Yes.
Okay.
Now look.
So what's in here? So this goes you more deep on what's included.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So you have certificated salaries, non-certificated salaries, benefits, travel, utilities, So this shows you, so it includes salaries, benefits, everything related to that category. And then the next highlighted section, 1183609, that's special ed instruction. So Schedule E1 gives you the detail of each one of these individual numbers. So page 44 through 43 gives you these numbers in more detail.
Good, thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Then we go on to Schedule F on page 44. So page 44 and 45 is your assets and liabilities for all of your smaller funds. And I guess I want to point out here, student transportation, you have a fund balance of $9,500. Food service, you have a $9,900 fund balance. And your scholarship fund, probably they're going out too. Our scholarship funds have fund balances. So you have $66,812 in fund balance in your scholarship fund.
Okay. Yep.
Now page 46, 47 gives you your revenues and your expenses for your smaller funds. So page 46, see, here's food service right here. Your food service revenues were $190,000. $33,000 was, people paying for meals. $157,000 federal funding. Your total meals cost $246,000, including appropriate, employees and everything. So you spent $56,450 more than what you brought in. There's that transfer we talked about earlier, which gives you a total fund balance of $9,907.
Is that variance, just for the board's edification of mine too, is that variance or that difference pretty, I won't say standard, is that consistently a percentage throughout the state? Are we in the ballpark?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And some of that has to do also with how rural you are. I mean, again, the more rural it is, there's some places where sometimes in the year they're flying in food.
Good point.
So, the places out in the Bethel region and the Cupview region and, those areas, the variance is significantly more.
Wow.
Places, like Matsu or Kenai, percentage-wise is less.
Okay, thank you.
So it comes down to the of food, and a lot of that is transportation costs and the cost of fuel.
Okay, again,
here's the rest of your little more fun. Scholarship funds, you can see you gave out $5,800 in scholarships this year.
Now, which type of scholarships are those?
Question was, which types of scholarships were those? And where would we find this?
They're all listed on the top.
Across the top. Okay.
Across the top. Yep.
Okay. So we just a few of the scholarships that are actually given out at graduation show up in this in our financials.
There's usually a year, like a half a year lag time because they're given out in June and they have requirements. So a lot of times we won't even get the request to pay it out until December, after they've completed their first semester, they turn in their grades, the requirements. So it goes through Rachel. Rachel sends the information over to us.
Okay, but There's a lot of scholarships they get. Maybe they get them directly from Rotary or directly from the Moose.
These are only the scholarships we manage the funds for. There are other scholarships that organizations actually give the students the check or the thing. We don't manage those. So these are the ones we manage, correct?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. And now you have a bunch of G bills, page 48 through 71. And that is all of these columns here, all of these different columns have a different budget to actual schedule in the G columns, in the G schedules. So I'm not going to go over all those, but if you have any particular fund that you're curious about, you can see the budget to actual there.
Okay, good, thank you.
Yep, and then on page 72, you can see your capital projects balance sheet and where your fund balances are residing. So, vehicle replacement, you have $114,000. The school siding, you have $210,000 put aside for that. The kitchen remodel, you have $200,000 put aside for that. Then you have $486,000 put aside for some of the other projects that you have lined up in the future.
Okay.
And then here's the project that you spent money in this year. So you can see, so the siding you spent $46,000 on, kitchen remodel $98,000 so far. There's some transfers within the capital project to get your total. All right. Then you have your J, page 79 through 81. This lists out all of your student activity funds. And these have a lot of them. You have more student activity funds than I've ever seen. See, look, you've got one. You got one for everything.
We got a lot of activity.
Yeah, every kid has an activity fund.
Yeah.
Every kid in Petersburg has an activity fund.
So you make a comment, it seems like many of them could be reduced to reduce. Can you back up there? Back up one. Seems like many of them could be combined to reduce administrative burden. And I guess you've had conversations with Karen on that, or Vicki has maybe, on how we would go about doing that.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's going to take a coordinated effort with everybody who's involved with these. You know, I mean, there's the class of 2012 fund.
Uh-huh.
Oh, actually, no, that one's closed out. I'm sorry. So that one was closed out. That was good. Okay, there's an active school fee. And that's got its own fund. And that's probably just going to the general fund, depending on what it is. But I'm thinking the general fund subsidizes most of the activities, and you make them a fee, and it's going into its own account here. And so there's just a lot going on here that could possibly be consolidated. And actually, Karen did consolidate quite a few of them this year. If you look, a lot of the ending balances are zero this year.
Right.
So actually, Karen has been going in and been cleaning them up. So.
Okay. Yeah. I know.
Go ahead.
Well, we are working on that. It's just you're right. I mean, that's one of our goals.
So it's not wrong. It's just, you know, I think sometimes you're making more work for yourself than you need to.
Uh-huh.
Schedule is Exhibit L1. Exhibit L1 and 84. These are all the federal funds that the school's administering. L2 is all the state funding. And pages 88 on back, this is the opinions on auditor compliance.
We audited your internal controls and your compliance with specific programs, and you received a clean opinion on all of your compliance and internal controls.
Okay.
I'm looking for something. I thought it was... there you go. On page 82 is your fund balance calculation. If you're not allowed to carry over more than 10% in the general fund of unreserved fund balance divided by your current year expenditures. So you're at 9.58%.
Okay.
Right, now I'm going to go back to that. Okay, so that's your financial statements. Now I just have some trend revenue, some trend graphs for you, just so you can see where you've been. And you can see over the last 10 years, you went from $5.5 million to $8 million in revenues. Your expenditures pretty much tracked 2.3 to 7.6. Your fund balance has been up and down, but right now you're at, you know, almost $1 million of fund balance. Your change of fund balance is like your net income in your general fund.
But that's one of those things that can go away quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, you know, $800,000 in fund balance could disappear. I looked at 2009. I think that was the year that you had to renew a whole lot of computers, I believe. You know. So
my first year here.
That ain't one time.
That was my budget.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Well, we've passed a deficit budget that year.
Yeah.
Going into 2009.
Yeah. So actually I think it's all right, Becky. But it could happen. You can't be like that, you know. So I think you guys, you've really done a great job over the last, five years or so, sort of reining in your expenses and monitoring your budget and really, really sticking to your budget. So here's your food service that we discussed earlier. You see, your expenses actually went up quite a bit this year. And your revenue really didn't follow suit. You know.
Actually, our revenues dropped because of the foods, the salad bar. Oh, they didn't drop, but we didn't get as much because of the salad bar.
I'd like to think of a healthier menu too, for the cost of revenue going up.
Yeah, some of the expenses, we're buying a lot more, really more expensive foods. That's part of that.
Yeah.
That's healthier menus and fresher foods, and we actually had to add a couple hours at times. There's a lot of reasons for that when we dig down into it.
Yeah, exactly. And as long as you're monitoring your budget the way you are, you can afford to do this. You can afford to provide good meals for the kids and subsidize it, you know. If that budget goes away, then we'll be back to, you know, chicken nuggets and french fries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Civic transportation, or that just supplemental bill this year, I believe, that resulted in the excess revenue here. That won't happen every year, though.
That was Senate Bill 160 as well.
That was Senate Bill 160 also, question?
Yes. No,
it was.
I think so. And there's your funding. No reportable conditions, no action cause, a clean opinion on compliance.
Hey, Sharon, why don't you know, like that, huh? They didn't even see us. We're going to turn the lights back on so you guys see there's real people here. There.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, see if I can.
Except I just lost the...
You just lost the real people?
Well, they're still here, but you're not. There.
Does anybody have any questions?
I just have a comment. I like all the detail that
that's given on this worksheet, even the activity detail that you have here, because it's interesting to be able to answer questions if you're asked on how much is spent for this athletic or how much is spent for
can you hear?
Sending kids from non-evil. So I really like that detail and the way this is set out.
Saying they like the detail of the format.
I like
it. You liked it?
Yes. I like the format.
Good, thanks. This is new with BDO. They have a different set, so we tried to follow it. And I actually really like it. So I think it's clean. Mm-hmm. It's clean.
It provides more detail, too, and so it's easier to answer the questions when people have a question. So thank you. I appreciate all your guys' work.
Oh, our pleasure. Our pleasure. You got a great crew down there. They do a great job preparing.
And that's not what you pointed out about the yearbook. I got a whole team of little elves there.
Derek, I'm not used to this new wrapper. What does BDO stand for?
You know, it's German names that I can't even do. It's like Beyonder, Zork, Vic, or something. Oh. I can't pronounce it. It's like 110 years old, you know. So, the company's about 110 years old. It's an international company that we merged with this year.
Oh, okay. We were debating what BDO, we thought it was Bodacious Organization.
Yeah, well, you know, that
sums it up. So, any other questions from the board?
I have one question, and maybe it's more of an explanation.
Page 81, Eric.
Of the activities. And so, this would probably explain the entire setup of it. But on the very last entry for liabilities on the yearbook program, it's our family. 12,379, which I'm assuming is that's the revenue that we took in from the sale of the yearbooks. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, and then deductions of 1,559. And then we come with a balance of $15,324. So I'm wondering, does this mean we make money on the yearbook?
No.
Or does it mean that
we haven't paid for it yet?
I don't think Eric will have that answer, but
he won't have that answer.
Have Karen kind of respond to that, okay, Eric?
It means that we get the invoice for the yearbooks after the close of our fiscal year. So we get it in July. And so they collect the funds, and then we write the check after July 1. There's a lag time.
Lag time, again, like months.
Okay. Do you have any idea what it costs, generally?
I don't, but usually it's very close to what we've been doing. Yes.
Yeah, we don't make money. We price it specifically to break as close as possible.
Okay.
Yeah. Do the kids pay for their yearbook? Or
they do.
Yeah. It's like...
It's $100, I think.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Back in the day when I was in school, it was like $40, so...
Well, and they sell advertisement, too,
yes,
don't they?
Yes, they do that. It's a subsidized... It's a quite a... Yearbooks, I'm sure you see lots of different costs for yearbooks. They're not a cheap thing to do.
So when we're looking at that balance column, we're not necessarily looking at a profit loss. It's just what's left over at the end of the year. It's not necessarily...
At the end of this year without having paid for the yearbooks yet.
Yeah.
So some of the other columns that would also be true of.
Yeah.
That it isn't necessarily a profit. It's just how much was left in that account.
At that point in time.
But there could still be liabilities out on that.
Perfect. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And these account balances correlate to what the bank balances are. So there could be things outstanding, but it hasn't cleared the bank by June 30th, and so it's all adjusted based on. We have a software program for it too.
Even though we are using an accrual system, it doesn't show up in these littler accounts.
It does.
Yep. So the cost, the expenses of the yearbook should be in here then?
No, because we get the bill. No. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a way to encumber the funds, let's put it that way, in QuickBooks.
Right.
Does that help?
Yes. So this is all accrual?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's accrual.
But I can't encumber the funds. We can't say, okay, well, we have.
Yeah, it's not accrual. It's actually cash. The student activities is actually cash basis. It's
It's the cash balance that you're in.
Oh, good. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not accrual.
But we do have requisitions, so we have outstanding.
Pretty much everything in the financials are accrual, with the exception of the student activities.
There.
And actually, one thing that might not be understood, at auditors, we don't audit student activities. The only thing we audit is the cash balance. We don't audit any student activity through the year when it comes to student activities. This is a supplemental schedule in the back, you know, and the numbers that are audited are basically the numbers in front of the financial statements. So that in the beginning, it's just cash and liabilities due to students. So the cash balance is the only thing that's audited. So that's one thing that's not understood too often.
Yeah, so it would be difficult then for me, say, to look at this statement and say, okay, we spent this much money and deducted this much money, and so here is the end amount that we spent on one activity versus another activity.
I can look at this.
Wait, look at this one.
This is more of a summary report. If you wanted specific detail,
that'd be a separate wiki. We can do that. Yes.
Can run a report from the program.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
But so this doesn't show like basketball.
And that's where we do have that report. We can tell you at the end of this, we'll be able to tell you exactly what basketball costs, exactly what volleyball costs, broken down by transportation, by salaries, by everything. Where we've been headed, trying to get there. We're there.
That's just not these forms.
No, this is that detailed. That's not their job. That's all they want to see is what's there, how we broke them out by activity, which is kind of what Eric's talking about when it says it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because we like to know what each activity costs.
Right. But that's on our budget information, isn't it? Because I've seen those figures.
No,
we give that to you separately. Mm-hmm. It's just not part of the budget. It's part of student activities is the budget, and then we say, and in student activities, here's how it breaks out looks like. Okay, one more drilling down level.
Student activities are for the kids. We are we're the agency that holds these funds for the kids, and so that's why it's considered a liability, because these are not the district's funds. These are the students' funds.
So these particular ones.
Yeah. These activities. Yeah. You also have the activities we do fund. That's why there's activities and there's activities.
I think that would be interesting to see sometime.
Yeah.
We
can do that.
Breakdowns.
Yeah. There is in your financials, I put a report in. There's a monthly report in your finance. In your the monthly report. Yep. Yep.
Okay. All right. Do we have any more questions? Do you have any more for us?
No, that's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Eric. Nice job for the first time with the WebEx. You guys were awesome. You're old pros now.
Thanks, Eric. I'm glad it worked.
It did. You're good. A lot cheaper than... easier than flying down, huh?
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Vicki.
Bye-bye.
It was kind of jerky. What kind of bandwidth do we have for that?
We have great bandwidth. It's their end. I think they get the problem. Because he was hearing us just fine. I think they have some bandwidth issues at their end, and I'll talk to him about that and say, if you're going to be doing a lot of these, you want to make sure your bandwidth gets up, because if your video is taking out your audio, that's not good.
Yeah. It's hard to understand.
Yeah.
It was a little bit hard to understand.
Related to the budget, but I'm kind of curious about the salad bar thing.
I don't know what that...
The kids aren't eating as much. Do you want to move back over?
Go ahead, Karen. You're getting your...
Last year, the salad bar was taken out because it's very labor-intensive. And what we saw is that there was a lot of adults eating from the salad bar, and so we brought in less revenue from that particular cash revenue from that source for the salad bar. We have since put the salad bar back in. So it was just an observation that we didn't receive as much cash receipts. We received more in our national school lunch program, the reimbursement process, because we have more on free and reduced and migrant So we received more from the state through the National School Lunch Program, less in our cash receipts.
And you had adults buying the salad bar,
but
they were not paying enough to cover the cost.
No. We didn't have the salad bar at all last year.
So when you did you weigh it? I mean, was it the salad bar done by weight or by a set amount?
No, you just go and you fill your plate. And the salad bar was a huge hit the year before.
A huge hit by the adults?
Yes.
Not by the kids.
Who are paying more?
The adults pay $5 per lunch, and the kids pay
$3? $3.25.
So we receive more revenue when an adult buys their food during the lunch program.
But it wasn't enough to cover the salad bar.
No, well, there's always going to be a transfer of funds to food service. Because when you think about what we receive back for our reimbursements, we're really getting reimbursed for the food that we're purchasing, and we have definitely shifted to a higher quality of food, and so that costs more. I think it's reasonable for us as a district to transfer the funds into the program to cover payroll and the benefits. Mm-hmm. I think that's very reasonable.
I would like to see at least the adults probably paying for what the value of the meal is. I mean, I understand the subsidy for the kids, but any adult that's eating there, certainly, I mean, $5 is an incredible bargain for a lunch. I don't know where we address that, but...
Yeah, we can raise the adult price. That's a board.
I guess my interest is just...
I'd like to know the data on how many adults and the whole... Mm-hmm. What the bottom
line
is.
I'd be curious, too.
We haven't really had enough time to do that yet. Is it our problem?
You know, maybe at the end of the year. Yeah. Or, I mean, 6 months or 8 months, and whatever. And get closer to the end of the budget. I don't know. I went for lunch one day, and I thought, you can't get a lunch for $5 in this town except for the school. And the quality is really good. And I felt like I was robbing the school district by taking fish tacos for $5.
John, did you have
one? No, I was just going to say that my interest was in promoting healthier lunches and healthier habits, you know, how much the kids take advantage of the salad bar. So when I heard it was cut out, I didn't really know why or how. And I guess I'm pleased to see it in there and hope that it's a well-used thing by the youngsters as well.
It is. It seems to be. And Carolee can give us the exact numbers, and that's another. I really want her to come and give a report, maybe midway through the year, January, February, something in there, because we're playing around with the moving target to a certain extent. And so we said, well, let's do away with this and see what happens, and then we see what happens, and we didn't like what happened, so we had to make that adjustment. So maybe, and the pricing is again a moving target, and we need to know how many adults purchase, and it's that whole business model thing. You track
your demographics.
Yeah, and so we just haven't had enough time into it to be able to do that with any accuracy. I don't think we have anyway.
Well, and it might be part of even like our strategic plan is that our goal is that we want to serve healthy meals, and we're willing to pay something extra for it and try to figure out, but also the whole whether adults get benefit or just the students.
It depends on the different days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we are at additional comments from board members, so we seem to be going right along with that quite well.
Yeah, we are.
Sorry.
We have to make a motion, though. Yes, we have to make a motion.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I would entertain a motion to accept the school district FY13 audit.
So moved.
Motion's been made and seconded to accept the school district FY13 audit. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Okay, now additional comments from board members.
Actually, if I might make a comment real quickly. It's not a board member comment, but an audit is a huge deal. And I never pass up an opportunity to recognize the person who prepared all the information for the audit and has guided us with a hand on the budget, and that's Karen. Karen Quitson's done a wonderful job of
getting
the budget. The only reason we have a clean audit is because we have a good budget person. So, anyway, you're probably going to say that, but I jumped the gun. So.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Karen. We really appreciate it. Future agenda items?
You skipped over additional comments.
Do you have another one, Chair?
additional comments or anything I want to say or future agenda?
Okay, I have, like, I want to know, we talked about, had a little meeting with the city about the Parks and Rec and the bill, the lights and stuff. I want to know where that's at. They're going to get back to us and meet this fall.
They'll get back to us. Okay. Louisa B. I asked questions.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah.
And then what's our, I'd like to know what our bullying policy is and what is the steps that it's taken, step.
Our what policy?
Bullying. Do we have a bullying policy?
Yeah. I wish the principals were here. So we have a bullying policy and we have the...
Cyberbullying policy.
Well,
I want to know, like, okay, so...
Well, it's part of the discipline plan, yes. It's a component of the discipline plan.
You go and
plan.
You talk to the principal...
It's part of the BS, the new PBIS.
The positive behavior interventions and supports. Is there an issue that we're not aware of? Or?
Well, I just...
Because we actually have a no-tolerance thing about bullying.
Well, I want to know, is the parent notified when something like that happens? Is it... what are the steps taken? The principal does something or doesn't do anything, and it happens again, and it happens again, and... I just was kind of wondering what are the steps that our school
I don't have that chart. There is a chart of those kind of exact
is
those
it?
Steps, yeah. Okay. And I have to get with and they're very similar, the elementary and the secondary. And the secondary one is both middle school and high school. And without having that at my fingertips, best if we can either, this is a major board concern, have the principal and the dean present, or if you want a sooner answer, come in when Rick is back and meet with Rick and Jamie and ask those specific questions.
Also, because in the junior high school bulletin that comes out every year, every day they send us out a bulletin on what's going on. And just recently, this last week, I believe, there was a note within our bulletin that went to all the parents saying that, asking us as parents to be aware of cyberbullying going on with the school.
We have an added paper going in, too.
And that there had been some issues with that, and that we needed to talk to our students about it. And so, I asked my son at home.
15% of the kids on a recent survey, 15% of the kids indicated they'd been cyberbullied. And the problem we're discovering is that cyberbullying isn't necessarily happening with the school computers. It's happening with the parent, the phones, and their own devices. Right. And it's happening not on our network, because we can monitor our network. That's why we're taking such a proactive stance on that one. And that came out of what we call the YRBS Youth Risk Survey.
Okay, that wasn't some specific situation.
No,
school.
We looked at the data. We said 15% of our kids are saying they're being bullied, but how come we don't know this? Okay. But that's a different kind of bullying than physical bullying. Your physical bullying is really what we address here, and it's in our discipline plan. And there are steps. I just don't have that paperwork right here.
Well, some of it is in the handbook, isn't it?
Yeah.
Student handbook. Yeah. It's online.
Yeah, it should be.
I think.
Isn't middle school the age group where you tend to see that the most prevalent?
The data nationwide, yes, and here too. But yeah, and sometimes you can have a group of students going through a school, and you're dealing with those individuals.
Particular class.
Yeah. Middle school, for whatever reason, people and kids are testing each other out. And that doesn't make it wrong, right. Matter of fact, it's very wrong, but it's part of growing up, and we're fighting that one. So I don't know how to answer your question other than...
I know it was there, and I know that for a while it was pretty big. Like, when I think my boys started sixth grade, it was huge. You hear about it all the time. And then there's nothing, and then a parent say something, and nothing's happened. Nothing's happened, and it's just, and then pretty soon my concern is, because I actually have a problem with it right now, pretty soon my kid's not going to take it anymore. And if it happens on school property, what's going to happen?
Well, I totally agree.
When he's not going to take it anymore, he's going to get suspended for sticking up for himself finally.
That's just something that both principal and the athletic...
But no, I'm just using it as it's someone else too, but I'm just using me as an example. But I mean, that's what I want to know is,
It's part of the policy.
Does it say in there if my kid finally is tired of being bullied after so long, nothing's happened, he's going to get punished?
Well, I guess that whole part of...
Or is it like just wait till it happens and see and then it comes?
Well, I guess my concern, my concern is that if bullying is taking place and there's a perception that things aren't happening, how come I don't know about that? For starters, nobody's met with me. And then I will ask those tough questions. Hey, and if I don't know about it, do the principals know about it? I guess I feel like I'm out of the info loop right now, and I can't respond unless I know a little more about what can I do to fix it or help. I need more about the complaint.
Well, I guess I worry less about kids fighting back than a lot of kids get to the point where they don't even like coming to school because it's such a negative environment. I mean, fighting back is definitely not okay here. But I wonder about those kids that just really take it to the point where they don't even like coming to school anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if it's prevalent throughout an entire facility, that's one thing. If it's one individual, that's another thing. Not right, but I'm not aware of either at this point. And I need to be aware so I can... Nobody's...
Well, I just had a parent come to me recently. Her kid was being bullied, and the son took care of it upon himself to take care of it. And he actually went and talked to the kids... Saw this kid's classmate's parents sitting there and went and talked to her about it. Mm. She said, I didn't know about it because he's already got in trouble once for doing it. Mm. So the parent wasn't informed that happened.
Yeah, I don't.
So I was just kind of wondering if there was. I didn't mean to make it a,
Well, no, there should be. I don't have a good answer without knowing more about it. What you're telling me is something's happening I don't know about. And then something happened where an administrator responded and didn't notify a parent, I guess. And that's not okay.
Well, it could have been that maybe he didn't realize it had been going on.
Yeah.
It is covered under that PBI. I mean, that is not whole.
Well, our discipline policy, and we are doing a very good job of tracking the behaviors because I get reports from the principals. I mean, it's all there. It doesn't mean one can't slip through the cracks. It's a pretty busy place. But, if somebody's having some real issues, I really want to know about it, as do the principals. And then if something happened that a principal reacted but the parent didn't know, then the principal meets with that parent and says, oh, my gosh, yes, I tried to call, no answer, whatever. No, I don't know a lot of the details there. But
I just want
them. Yeah. No, you're right. I'm a little concerned that because I wander the halls and the lunches, and actually the building feels very good. And I get positive comments from people saying there's a good energy here. So if one student, even one, is being bullied, then that's wrong. And I need to know.
Well, it can happen on the bus, at the bus stop.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of places outside of school as well. And like you say, on their phones.
Yeah, that's the one that's got our attention at this point in time. Anyway, let me know or meet with the appropriate principal or dean, because we'll get to the bottom of it. I just don't know where it is. So anyway,
that's all.
No, that is great. I need
more
chance. Yeah.
Okay. Any more board comments? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Concert tonight in half an hour. You might want to get there early to get a seat.
Get all in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Who are you adjourned? Okay, concert, 7:00.